Memories of the first year of Commonplace in no particular order. One day, after the lunch rush was over, I walked the couple of blocks to the Mississippi River and sat on a wooden outcropping and just watched the river go by. And in my reverie, I realized that in all the years I'd lived in St. Paul, I had never just sat by the river. Then I realized that I was free in a way that I'd never been free before in my life. I was working as hard or harder than the 40-hour week that I'd worked as a social worker, but I was in control of my work. I worked because I wanted to work. I worked the hours that I wanted to work. Another memory was the feeling of joy and surprise as each customer walked in the door. It was as if they had come out of nowhere and suddenly were a new friend. I became involved with everyone that came in the door, finding whatever level of intimacy could be found in the period of time that they were a customer, or if they continued on and became workers in the cafe. One of these people was a young man whose name I no longer remember, and I had spent a lot of time, he was a regular, talking to him at the counter. One day his sister rang and said that her brother had been killed instantly on the motorway that morning, and that he'd often talked about me, and so she knew where to ring. She invited me to come to a service for him, and so I went along to something that I'd never been to before, a Hindu ashram, and it was a real shock. For some reason or other, his death penetrated my blasé reality, and I was open to everything that was occurring in this ashram. The smells and the sounds and the relationships, and I joined this ashram, went to classes, learned yoga, practiced it, learned meditation, was eventually initiated into this particular ashram and had my mantra. Another memory was visiting my friend David before the restaurant opened, and he showed me a book that he was enthusiastic about, a book called Be Here Now by Ram Dass. I read a little bit of it and I thought it was absolute nonsense, and I remember throwing it down on the table and saying, you know, nonsense. But I picked it up one day and it started making sense. It became the Bible at the cafe. It was on the counter, and I spent time every day reading it and sharing it with anybody that was working there or anybody that was eating there. I remember the doorway into the cellar where we could go and smoke joints in little breaks. I remember a regular named Daniel who picked up trash and collected antiques and collectibles from his trash run. One day he brought in two women to eat and said that they were local prostitutes. They were trying to figure out what to eat on our menu. And so he called me over and asked me to answer their questions. And one of them said, who is this Mr. VG person? Because, you know, one of the main items on our menu was a veggie burger, a patty made up of carrots and celery and peanuts and soybeans and rice and brewer's yeast and dill seed, all ground up and fried as a hamburger-like patty on wheat germ buns. I remember a man named Fred who was homeless and wandered in and wanted to help. He became a kind of permanent fixture of the cafe, doing all of the menial tasks. He was always at the sink washing dishes or mopping floors. He saw me as the boss man, and anything that he thought I would want, he tried to do it. He had no interest in the food, except that it was something to eat. He had no interest in the politics or the relationships or the philosophy. He simply felt safe and provided for in the environment. He needed a place to live. I invited him to live in our house on Summit Avenue. So he was in my life, both personally and professionally. He was a remnant, really, of my social work past. I remember meetings that seemed to go on forever, and all of the intense encounters that occurred as we tried to process this spontaneous life form called commonplace.